Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. Self-mastery is an important state to be in as we trek on the road towards goal achievement. And in today's episode, you are going to learn how to achieve that self-mastery in your own life. Today's guest runs The Powerful Man, a company which supports 1 million men as they reconnect with their powerful lives. This mission allows more men to impact the world in a way they know they're capable of doing. Today's guest for episode 99 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Tim Matthews. Tim, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. What an introduction. I'm blown away. Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing. What a great way to recap some of the festive period to spend this time with you and your listeners. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Tim, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really look forward to diving into this conversation we're going to have about self-mastery. First, I'd love to get some backstory, though, so we can learn a little more. So why did you start The Powerful Man?
Oh, wow. Why did I start? So really, and this may sound a little bit cliche, but this is the reality. The Powerful Man wasn't a conscious business decision. It wasn't something that, I did the market research and looked for the gaps and looked at my strengths. It really wasn't anything like that. What actually happened was before The Powerful Man, I had a company called Fitness for Mum. And I reached a point in my life, Mark, whereby I'd really become aware of the fact that my entire life up until this point, and I was about 29 at this point, 28, 29, had been a story, a pattern of stress, struggle, and sacrifice. And I made the decision a few months before I started The Powerful Man to just, you know, cut a lot of the noise out of my life. I was in a very toxic relationship. I was in some bad business deals, bad business partnerships. Fitness for Mum kept attracting problem clients. I was putting out fires, just all sorts. And I really realized, you know, that I was the one creating all of this. And anyway, I really felt the pull for something bigger. I really felt the pull to coach, to author, to speak, but I did not have a clue who it was for or what it was going to look like. So luckily I was able to create some space within Fitness for Mum, you know, got some people in place, some systems, that kind of stuff to allow me to just step back from the day-to-day running and just, you know, allow whatever was going to flow through just to flow through. And there was certain instances that happened surrounding me and my father and my feelings of self-worth and my feelings of not being good enough. And essentially, one thing led to another. I just started to speak this message through social media. I never used to post anything through Facebook or social media. I used to really keep myself to myself, and you know, I still do to a large degree. But point is, I really felt compelled to start sharing this story. And when I did, it just started to resonate with a lot of men. And I started just getting onto calls with men, helping them out, giving them advice, and it just grew and grew, and it's eventually led to where we are today. It really wasn't something that chose me. Quite a few life events led up to the culmination of me just speaking what I spoke on social media, which then led to where I am today. So it's really the result of just following my flow, if I'm honest, following what felt right.
And that is an important point that you mentioned, where you had to get rid of the environment you were in. You found yourself in a toxic environment, and all that eventually helped lead you to where you are today. But when you were talking about that environment, I immediately thought of the Jim Rohn quote, "You're the average of the five people who you spend the most time with." So how did you go about getting rid of that toxic environment? Because I feel like once people are glued into their toxic environment, it can be really hard to get out.
Yeah, you're so right. Great question. So I'll give you a little bit of backstory. So what happened was, I got introduced to one of my best friends, well, the guy who is now one of my best friends, a guy called Tom Crawshaw. And this guy was working his business online, traveling the world, working from anywhere in the world, earning more money, impacting more people, having more freedom. And I was like, yeah, the dream. And I was like, fuck, like, what? This is one of the people, you know, all these guys that I read about and that I was looking at and that I was learning from. This was one guy right in front of me. And I was like, shit, you know, what am I doing? Why is it so hard for me? Why am I creating so much stress and struggle in my life when this guy over here, who I'm friends with, who's here, is not like an urban legend, like sometimes in internet marketing can seem. Why has he been able to do it and why have I not? And I really started to look at what I was creating in my life. And my relationship, like I said, was an absolute, it was in turmoil. My business was just putting out fires, everything. And what I became aware of was it all started when I was about 7 years old. And what happened was I never really used to see my dad a great deal when I was younger. I did because I lived with him, but, you know, he's a busy guy. So he'd sometimes come home late, he'd work away a lot. And he used to take me up to the local football field and we'd play football, so soccer, every Sunday. And anyway, this one week I was playing in a primary school football match and I scored 4 goals and I was like, fuck yes, can't wait to get home and tell my dad, he's going to be so proud, this is my moment. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I lived in a household whereby it was very much one of, you will fear your father and wait till your father gets home. And I really didn't feel like I could be me when I was younger. Looking, I really felt, the best way to describe it looking back was that I felt suppressed. Wow. And now I know that, you know, I was afraid to speak my own voice. I was afraid to be myself. Not that mom and dad were bad parents by any means. It was just that whole thing of you will fear your father. So anyway, when I scored those 4 goals, I was like, wow, this is my moment. He's going to be so proud of me. I can't wait to get home and tell him. And so I rushed home, waited for him to get in from work. He got home, came in, went upstairs, got a shower, came down, grabbed a beer from the fridge, went into the living room. And he sat in his chair. You know, all dads have a chair, don't they? He sat in his chair. And I went to go stand in front of him and tell him about these goals. And I was feeling quite nervous because it was a big moment for me. It sounds silly in some respects, but it was a huge moment for me as a 7-year-old. And anyway, as I went to go share the goals with him, I don't even think I got through the second goal. And he just did this hand gesture to move me to one side. And I just remember feeling so deflated. It was just like, it was almost like the final nail in the coffin of, you know, you're not good enough. And what do I have to do to be seen? And what do I have to do to matter? And what I then did was I looked for ways my entire life to reinforce that belief. Subconsciously, I didn't know I was doing this. So my sister, who's 7 years older than me, she went traveling when she was 18, I was 11. I believe that was because she didn't want to be around me. I then got in relationships with girls and I'd cheat on girlfriends and I'd go after the girl that all the boys wanted just so I could, you know, prove my worth and feel good enough and feel like a man. And then as I got older, I almost died from taking too many drugs because, again, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to people please. And I kept repeating this pattern. And consciously, I felt worthy and I felt good enough, hence why I started my own business at 24. You know, I felt like I could make something, but subconsciously, I had this underlying theme of a fear of rejection and not feeling good enough. So when I started my business, I undercharged for my services. I took on problem clients. I was constantly putting out fires. I was people-pleasing. I was starting too many projects. And anyway, when I met Tom, I was in a relationship with this one girl, and it was another one whereby I was constantly self-sacrificed and I was afraid to leave it because I just feared that nobody else would want me. So what did I do? I ended up proposing to her. We got engaged, we bought a house, we booked the wedding. And it got to September of 2013, I think it was. I just met Tom, saw him living his life as he was, looked at my life and I was like, why is it so hard? And at that point, when I pieced all the pieces of the puzzle together, I realized what I was doing. I just couldn't go through with it because my parents were about to put £10,000 down on the wedding. And I just couldn't let them do it because I knew the relationship was going to end in divorce. I just knew it. It wasn't a good one. It was toxic. I had to sacrifice myself. I couldn't be me. And I entered into bad business deals. I got robbed of tens of thousands of pounds. Mark, my entire life was just an absolute fight for survival. I wasn't thriving, I was surviving. So anyway, I ended up cancelling the wedding. I got rid of the offices in Leeds. We had a fitness franchise at that point. I got rid of the franchise. I just made the commitment to start doing it my way for the first time ever. And my way was just start following and honouring my gut instinct, because my entire life I'd been ignoring it. It didn't feel right to get engaged, but I did it. It didn't feel right to take on the problem clients, but I did it. It didn't feel right to enter the business deals, but I did it. I did it all out of neediness and desperation. So when I went about ending, you know, the toxic relationships and changing my environment, it was a process that kind of took place over about 6 months, just one pillar at a time. The relationship, then the business partner, then the offices, then the actual fitness from one business. It all took place actually from about September until January. And it was all driven by that one promise that I made to myself that, you know what, I'm going to do it my way for the first time ever. I'm going to just follow what feels right and just honor my gut instinct. And as a result, that's when I started to, eventually, about 3 or 4 months later, I created The Powerful Man. Because I was able to turn down the noise in all the other areas of my life. I stopped chasing myself so much. I used to chase so hard just to stand still. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. But essentially, the short answer to your question, Mark, was that the pain got too much. And sometimes I consider, you know, what would I have done if it would have been my £10,000 and not my parents that they were going to put down on the wedding? And you know what? I think I would have probably stayed in the relationship, because my self-worth was pretty low. Consciously, it wasn't, because I was striving and pushing out a growing business, but subconsciously it was, and this was showing up in all areas of my life: my patterns with money, my health, my relationships, my sex life, my happiness, everything.
That is a very deep story, and this is definitely something that this life story isn't just you. Like, there are other people who I feel like have that sense of they have to prove themselves to the world, boost their self-worth. You were able to get yourself out of that cycle and just go on your own gut and seek to please yourself, in a sense, instead of worrying about what everyone else thought and trying to please everyone and regaining that self-worth. But can you explore about how you develop that self-worth? Like, you for like the majority of your life under this idea where I have to basically please everyone and I have to prove myself to these people. So how were you able to flip the switch after many years of this mentality being repetitious in your mind?
Yeah, so somebody asked me that was in the September. I made all those changes from about September to December, and just around Easter time of the following year, somebody said to me, because obviously things were still coming up for me, I was making changes, but I was still holding on to some of these beliefs and behaviors that were holding me back. I'd not really cut the chain, if you like. And somebody could tell this. And somebody asked me, you know, have you ever asked your dad if he's proud of you? And my mind freaked out. In my heart, in myself, it just felt like the right thing to do. But in my mind, I was like, whoa. And I answered, no. I said, no, I've never asked him that. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you 7 days to do it. Do you accept the challenge? I'm like, easy. 7 days, no problem. So I said, yeah. And got to day 7 and I'd still not done it. And I'm like, hell, like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, why is this so hard? Why am I stressing out about this so much? Got to day number 8 and I was like, oh my, this is just ridiculous. You know, I'm holding back, I'm buying into fear. You know, so I drove around to my dad's house, and luckily nobody was in. He was cooking in the kitchen. And I walked through the kitchen, said hello, and walked out through the doors into the garden. And I was pacing around in the garden, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And every time I went up to the doors to ask him, I just froze. I've never experienced anything like that in my entire life, like not being able to speak. And in the end, I got it out. And he was like, what? Because I just muttered it. I'm like, Daddy, I've been asked to ask, are you proud of me? He's like, what? What did you say? I'm like, are you proud of me? He's like, why are you asking me that? It's like, it's just a yes or no answer, please. Are you proud of me? He said, yeah, of course I am. Why? I said, because you've never told me. And he dropped the knife and came from behind the table, and we sat down at the table together, and we had an amazing, amazing conversation. I told him about the belief I formed when I was 7 years old. I told him about how I had let that influence my behavior all of my life. Obviously knew about the drugs because I was in hospital, but I told him about the girls. I told him about the fitness business. We obviously knew about the fitness business, but he didn't know how deep this ran. He did, because obviously I did so well to put on a mask. I did so well to cover it up with hustle and with push and force and grind and positivity. And, you know, I said to him, I get that one of the reasons why you struggle to express positive emotion within our family is because you never received it yourself. And then he shared some amazing truths with me about his upbringing and his father and his mother and how his father was never there for him, and just all sorts. And right there and then in the moment, this is one of the exercises we invite the men to work with that we do. I invite the men to do that we work with. And, you know, facing the fear, having that conversation with my father and explaining that situation when I was 7 years old, the memory, he never even remembered the day. He never even remembered what happened. It was so inconsequential in his mind. Yet I had let it run my life for 28, 29 years. And in that moment, it was like a weight had been lifted, because what I knew logically, well, yeah, he loves me, yeah, I'm good enough. I knew that logically, but I didn't feel it in my body. And in my subconscious, I didn't know it. And it wasn't, like I said, there was a gap and a void that constantly meant I was running and chasing to please others. But in that moment of having that conversation with him, that gap and that void started to become filled. You know, we started to have a relationship. We started to create something new. Like in that moment, I went from him seeing me as a boy to him seeing me as a man. And ever since, a few years ago, our relationship has just got better and better and better. So that was one of the key points in shifting it. And then along with constantly, constantly doing what feels right, always putting my needs first, being selfish so that I can be selfless, always making sure that I'm in alignment, you know, I'm doing the things that fill me up. And you know, obviously sometimes life happens and it's a journey and a dance, isn't it? I don't believe in perfection. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, my life is amazing 100% of the time. Yeah, I have a great life, but the key to it is always coming back to that true North Star of knowing what is true for me, and what is true for me comes from what feels right. And since that day, it's just been a process of building evidence for that. Now, I spent 28, 29 years building evidence for all that wasn't me, building evidence for a lie that held me back and kept me trapped. So ever since I became aware of that, I've been doing things that are in alignment with my highest good. And yeah, sure, they feel scary a lot of the time, to my mind anyway, but to my heart, they just feel so peaceful and like the right thing to do. And every time I take action in alignment with my truth, my power, my purpose, and I focus on the result that I get, I build evidence for all that I am. I build evidence for who I am in my truth, my power, my purpose. With every bit of evidence I get, the hold that that unworthy side had on me gets less and less and less and less. It's like retraining a new muscle. And I allow my feeling to be the compass.
I'm very happy to hear that your story with your father has a happy ending. And I mean, moments like that, like there are so many moments that happen and like a day, a week, a month, a year of life, but it's small moments like that that can make a really big difference. And I mean, based on your conversation, just talking about the topic, it's very obvious it had a big impact on you, but I feel like we'll have an idea it had a big impact on you, but I can only imagine what it actually felt like. And I mean, it's definitely a happy story, a happy ending. And now you just keep continuing on your course. But how do you continue to stay on top of your game and not revert back, but just stay where you are? And how can other people do the same?
Great question. One of the things there's, so what we say when we're working with the guys, there's, you have four pillars of your being: thoughts, which are beliefs, feelings, language, and actions. So for me, and for all of us, when that unworthy side of me was showing up, it showed up in the four pillars of my being. So I became aware of it with my thoughts and my beliefs and started to shift them through the conversation with my father. I then became aware of them with my feeling. So obviously I started to allow my feeling to be my compass, but at the same time, whatever you think in the mind, you feel in the body. So I went through a lot of exercises to release the anger, the guilt, the shame, the sadness that I was holding on to, that I've been holding on to for 29 years of my life. Because as men as well, we're taught to suppress, aren't we? We're taught that men don't cry, man up, don't be a girl, all these things. And as a result, we suppress all the heavy emotions because we don't know how to express them. So whether it's anger, we don't know how to express anger in a healthy way because we don't want to make people scared. We don't know how to express sadness because we don't want to look weak or admit defeat, like I was said a moment ago. So one of the key points in being able to really solidify the true version of me was being able to release all that heaviness that I've been holding on to as well and give myself permission to actually feel, because it's very difficult for you to choose what emotions you're going to feel. You know, what I mean by that is if I'm blocking and suppressing out anger, sadness, resentment, guilt, shame, but I only want to experience joy, happiness, and excitement, then it's difficult. You can't do that. If you're blocking out your emotion, you're blocking out your emotion. And, you know, you creating the biggest impact in the world, you growing your business doesn't cut well. One of the ways it can come from is from you constantly giving and giving and giving and giving. But what will happen is if you are on that path and on that journey, then it's really difficult to pour from a cup that's always been emptied. So you may arrive at your destination, but you're going to arrive there beaten up, exhausted, overworked, stressed out, lonely, with a trail of destruction you're leaving a trail of destruction behind you. Or when you're able to actually get into your flow and you focus and you have freedom of your expression and freedom of self, you give yourself permission to be you, then your cup is always being filled. You give, you receive, you give, you receive. And when you're in that space, you're energized, you're in flow, you're excited, you're clear, you're focused, you're most creative, you're most inspired, and you are your most productive. But to get to that point, you get to release some of the heaviness that has been weighing you down. So that's the second pillar, your feelings. And then actions, you know, really aligning my actions. So whenever we work with the men, we make it really simple. So let's say that you want to achieve one, you're committed to achieving one result in each area of your life. Let's just say that it is weight loss. You're committed to losing 10 pounds in the next 30 days. Well, what we identify with the men are the keystone habits. So what are the keystone habits, the one or two keystone habits that you get to implement into your life that will mean that losing that 10 pounds will happen by default? The keystone habit is the one or two key behaviors that have a domino effect on all the other behaviors just, you know, coming with ease. So let's say that you identify the biggest obstacle is two things. One is that you reach for food throughout the day. You know, you're busy, you eat breakfast well, you eat your like evening meal well, but throughout the day you get busy, you skip meals, you reach for rubbish because you just leave it too late. So one of the keystone habits would be for you to prepare your lunch on a Sunday and on a Wednesday. So you've got that meal there for 3 days a week. So you don't skip it. So you've got more energy, you're more focused. And let's say the other keystone habit for you to lose the weight is that you want to have more energy. So the keystone habit would be for you to turn all electronics off by 8 p.m. and be in bed by 10. Because when you do that, it gives you a chance to wind down, you get a good night's rest, you wake up energized, you've got your meals for the day, so you naturally just want to go to the gym, you feel good, you feel focused, you're eating well, the 10 pounds becomes easy. Rather than focusing on going to the gym 5 days a week, or, you know, a lot of people focus on the how and instead of the what and the why, but also they focus on the how and make it overly complicated. So from an action perspective, getting super clear on the one result you're committed to achieving and the keystone habits, and then language. You know, you can speak things into reality, you can speak things into existence, can't you? Language carries vibration. You know how it makes you feel when you talk bad about yourself or you talk about how life is a struggle and how it's hard and how it's this and you huff and puff. That energy fills you with heaviness in your body. Whereas when you take control of your language and you speak in an empowered sense, you don't wait to be the person. Let's say the person that you want to be, that you're committed to being from losing the 10 pounds, is somebody who's an athlete, somebody who's light on his feet, someone who's energized. What do? Do you wait until you've lost the 10 pounds to be that person? Or do you be the person now? You be the person now. Be, do, have. Be the person so you execute the habit so you have the result. Versus what a lot of people do is they wait until they have the thing to then be the person, and they never ever become the person because it's always outside of their reach. So, you know, what in answer to your question, Mark, aligning those four pillars of your being is really, really key. And obviously environment, you know, upgrading your environment, enrolling support of other peers. Those are the little things you can do in your environment to obviously shift things and give you that boost, because environment is huge. But in terms of identity, the strongest force in yours, in mine, in anyone's psychology is the need for them to stay consistent with who they think they are. And the trouble with a lot of people is they don't know who they are. Who they think they are isn't really who they are. Take me, for example. For 28 years, 29 years of my life, who I thought I was wasn't actually who I was, because subconsciously I was sabotaging myself the entire time. So when you align your identity with those four pillars of your being, and also, you know, shift your environment too, it starts to, you become that person. As a result, success starts to happen by default.
Tim, thank you for sharing those great insights. And I mean, it's a framework if you can break it down. I feel like it's tempting to just not pay attention to any of the details. Like, it's good to have the vision, but you need to have a deep vision. It's not just like, I want to be this. It's these are some of the things that I'm going to do to reach my destination. And I love how you laid that out for us. And one of the things you were talking about was, it's a theme of your story of how you were living this different life for the majority of your life. And then you were able to go to this current life that you're living, which is not one of like trying to please others and things like that. But in addition to just living the wrong way, like living that type of a lie in a sense, is there anything else that you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Needing to control everything. So you raised a really great point, Mark, about the what and the why. In my opinion, and in my experience of working with, you know, hundreds of guys and, you know, myself, the what and the why are everything. You know, as long as you know the what and the why, a lot of people don't know what they want, and that's okay. If you admit that you don't know what you want, because then you reclaim your power, the ball is in your court to then create what you want. A lot of people, in my experience, when you ask them what they want, it's one of the scariest yet exciting questions you can be asked. Because for a lot of people, they honestly don't know. And that is okay. What they want, usually what they create in their life is to please everybody else. It's to live up to everybody else's standards, everybody else's expectation. Let's take the internet marketing world, for example. And I did this too. You know, when I first started The Powerful Man, and when I was shifting fitness from I'm about to do it my way for the first time ever, all I wanted was to be able to have the business be online so I could work remotely and work from anywhere in the world. Simple as that. And as I achieved that, I then was like, right, I want to be on 10K a month. As I achieved that, it was like 50K a month, 100K a month, because I started to lose sight of what I wanted. And I started to fall for the marketing. I started to fall for the marketer's dream, you know, that when you get 100K a month and that's, you know, you're going to be more revered and you're going to be more this and you're going to be more that. And, you know, I've caught myself dipping in and out of that. And I'm not saying that, you know, you don't create money, you don't create wealth, because obviously wealth is an amazing thing. Financial wealth is an amazing thing. But, you know, what if 100K a month isn't for you? That's all right. It doesn't make you any less of a person. What if to live your most epic life and, you know, impact the world in the way you know you want to and you know you're capable of, and start charities and invest and all those amazing things, what if that figure was 50K a month? Now, the clearer you are on the what and the why, the quicker and easier you're going to achieve it, because you're absolutely clear and you go all in. But for a lot of people, they don't really understand what it is they want, because sometimes a lot of the decisions on what they want come from their head versus their heart. They come from everybody else's version of success and not theirs. So the what and the why are absolutely key, and then letting go of the how, just accepting that you don't have a clue how you're going to create it. Everybody likes to pretend that they know exactly how it's going to turn out. Nobody knows. There are no guarantees. All that we can do is our best. All that we can do is show up in alignment with what feels good and what feels true for us, and stretch ourselves every day to face the fear, seek out what scares us, and go that direction. Follow the excitement, follow the joy, follow the inspiration, and create based on that and based in alignment with what you want and why you want it. And that will allow you to be flexible. Flexibility is one of the biggest assets, biggest strengths you can learn to harness, because it allows you to change quicker. It allows you to pivot quicker, which means you can let go of things quicker. You can try new things quicker. You'll experience success quicker. Yet we often get so caught up and so transfixed on achieving it in a certain way, because that's what we said was going to happen. That's what we said we were going to do, that we lose sight of the what and the why. We just want to get things done. It's like a to-do list. Instead of having a to-do list, what if you had a to-be list? I am going to be flexible. I am going to seek out what scares me. I am going to create based on what excites me, what feels good, in alignment with my what and the why, versus to-do, 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 to-do. We get lost in the how. And, you know, it happened to me for a long time. I got lost in the how. And then I looked up 2 years down the road and what I'd created, I was like, I didn't recognize what I'd created. I didn't recognize who I was, because I'd got so lost in the how and so detached from the what and the why. When you focus on the what and the why and you allow yourself to flow with it, you'll create amazing things. And you're just detached from the how. That's where speed takes over. That's where you get into momentum. Because you're just going with what feels right. You know, what is momentum? Momentum is velocity, mass times velocity. Mass is the depth of action, how big the action is that you're going to take. Seeking out what scares you, following the excitement. Velocity is the speed of execution, how quickly you're going to execute. Whereas a lot of people, the mass isn't very big because they just take shallow action, not deep action. They just do the things that, you know, surface level. And they do them slowly. They have a lag time. They have a lag time between the inspiration they receive and them having that be, you know, expressed in the world. There's a lag time, and that lag time might be a day, a month, a year, a lifetime. And the longer the lag time, the less you get into momentum. Momentum is mass times velocity. That comes from you just being able to be detached from the how and flexible and pivot and change and flow.
And I do feel like we're all focused on the how. And I immediately think of, I might butcher the last name, I don't know, but Simon Sinek, Start With Why. I immediately think of his book. I've seen his TED Talk several times. But you seem like someone, like, you really have your why down. I mean, I can see your why with your company, that like, you have this powerful story and you want to share it with people who may be in a similar situation. So I could totally see how you are all honed in on your why, but how can we develop a stronger why for us? Because I know that the why helps us to take action, but how can we make our why stronger?
Wow, what a great question. How can we make our why stronger? One of the big things for me, you know, for a long time, I wasn't real with myself. I allowed my positivity to mask my reality. And as a result, I'd kind of get good results, but I never got great results. You know, I live a good life, but I wouldn't live a great life, because I was blocking myself from being real. Real with the results I was creating, real with how I was showing up in my life. Just real, absolutely real with myself. And a great question a few questions that I started to ask myself was, you know, what is not working for me right now? What is the consequence of things staying the same? You know, what if in 2 years' time, in 5 years' time, I've just continued to grow at this same rate? What will my life be like? And I started to play with the concept, the idea of me maybe not achieving what I wanted to achieve, but at the same time, knowing that I can create anything I want in the world. Absolutely anything. You, myself, we can create anything. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? It's just free will is just, oh, it just boggles my mind. It's amazing. Just, I feel my soul just, oh, we can create anything, which is a beautiful and amazing concept. So when you combine that with the fact that getting real about the result I'm producing and how I'm showing up and what if things weren't to change, what kind of life would I live? And just play that out. It allows me to really then get clear with I get to be intentional about this shit. I get to be urgent about my life. I get to take my life seriously because no one's going to do it for me. And I don't get too far ahead of myself. I get clear on what I'm committed to creating in the short term. Well, my overall vision for right now and why. And I take it off the shelf. I don't leave it as something that's, you know, up there for 12 months or 2 years or whatever. I make it real today. I make it absolutely real. How can I live that life today? What are the steps for me to take that, to experience that today? Be, do, have. Who do I get to become today to be worthy and capable of achieving that level of success? And then break it down to being that person today rather than, you know, in 12 months' time, in 2 years' time. Because whenever I'm making it in 12 months' time or 2 years' time, there's no desire there. There's no intensity there. Sure, I'll be patient and urgent at the same time and take action and take aligned action and get stuff done. But, you know, I'm committed to experiencing the result today, now. You know, that's the expectation that I have on my life. The result, I'm looking for the result today, not in 12 months, not in 2 years, not in 5 years. Sure, like I said, some things do take time, and I'm okay with that. I'm not expecting it today when it doesn't show up today, you know, being like, fuck, where is it? but at the same time, viewing it as today allows me to be really, have a real strong sense of desire, a massive, massive sense of desire. And I touch base with that why every day. And, you know, my girlfriend, someone who I love dearly, I share it with her and I ask her, how am I doing? I have accountability from other people in my life. Ask them, how am I doing? Ask myself every week, you know, if every week was like this, would I achieve the result that I want? Yes or no? Simple, yes or no. Would I achieve it? Yes or no? Really allow myself to get real with myself and be black and white versus living on the fence, because I lived on the fence for so long. Just being black and white, yes or no, really empowers you to be able to make the most informed decision. People fear getting real with themselves, in my experience. Not everybody, some people. Some people fear getting real with themselves. It's almost like you've been negative. It's going to disempower you and it's a bad thing. But it's not. You know, the more real you are, the more empowered you're able to become and the better choices you're able to make and the better questions you're able to ask yourself. There's nothing wrong with not being where you want to be right now. That's cool. But in my opinion, there's everything wrong with not being real and accepting that you're not there right now and accepting that what you're doing isn't going to work. So it's time to change things rather than, you know, living in this land of hope that, you know, well, it's 2 years away, so I've got a load of time. I've got 2 years to make change. It's a two-year vision. Well, it's not. It's a vision for now. The time is now. You know, there's loads of different theories on time, isn't there? How time isn't real and all those other things. Time is now. The time is now. It's today. And one of the greatest dances you can learn to do in life, in my opinion, he's been able to dance that dance of urgency whilst also really enjoying life as it unfolds.
Tim, thank you for sharing with us how it can fuel our whys. And we do have to take all these moments in life seriously because I feel like some people sometimes think about a moment, past thing too long and not be able to enjoy the present moment. So it's definitely very important to do that. And Start With Why was the book I thought of, which fueled that part of the conversation, but I'm wondering if you could share with us three great book recommendations that would help us grow our businesses.
Conversations with God, by Neil Donald Walsh is a great one. Storytelling, building a brand based on storytelling is another great one. And what's another one? The E-Myth is a great one. Depends where you are with your business, but that one's all about how to actually build a company, build an organization, and lead the organization in a way whereby it can run without you, essentially. It's a great book.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those book links and the show notes be at markaberti.com/e99. Before we wrap up this episode, I'm going to flip the tables on Tim. So I've asked you a bunch of questions throughout our time together. And with that in mind, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What's one question we need to be asking ourselves more often? How can I make this fun and easy?
Love that question.
You know, we've been conditioned to take pride in the struggle, haven't we? You know, if something's easy, it's not worth having. That's it's bullshit. You know, when we're in flow, time fades away. You know, it's flow. We've all got a gift to share with the world. Every single one of us has a gift, and you know, being able to learn how to identify what that is and share it with the world. And Pablo Picasso said, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That's just amazing. And, you know, that doesn't come from force and struggle and hustle. Sure, that is one way to do it. That's one journey. But in my opinion, I'd rather arrive at the end destination with a smile on my face than, you know, with a load of battle scars and exhausted and beaten up and lonely. I've experienced both of those, and you know, the former is by far the more enjoyable.
Tim, thank you for sharing all of your great insights with us throughout this episode. Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to learn more about Tim, you can head over to thepowerfulman.com. But word on the block, Tim is also offering us a bonus for listening to this episode. So Tim, what is that bonus you want to offer to us?
Yeah, if what I've been sharing with you guys, you know, is of value, you resonate with it, then do you know what? I'd love to help you out even more. So if you head over to thepowerfulman.com/bonus, I've got a training there which is really going to walk you through the steps that I've taken in my own life to really remove those unconscious breaks that often are sabotaging your next level of income, impact, and freedom. So you can really, you know, impact the world in the way you know you're capable of doing without it costing you your health, your happiness, your relationships. So, yeah, that's a free bonus just for you guys. So thank you for, if you've got this far, thank you for listening. It's a pleasure.
Breakthrough Success listeners, don't forget to check out that bonus. Tim, it was such a pleasure to have you as a guest on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Yeah, you've asked some amazing questions, Mark. Thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage in my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/markguberti. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/markguberti or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.